Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 25, Ethical Walls and Matterscoped Access. Alice, this one feels very specific to legal software. What's the problem we're solving?
Picture this. Two partners at the same law firm. Partner A advises the company trying to make an acquisition. Partner B advises the company being acquired. Same firm. Opposite sides of the same deal. If partner A sees partner B's client communications, the target's negotiation strategy, their bottom line, their privileged legal advice, that's not just a data breach. It's a professional ethics violation. The firm can be disqualified from representing either client. There can be sanctions, malpractice claims, and regulatory action. Your software has to prevent that from happening.
So this is a regulatory requirement, not just a nice-to-have security feature.
Absolutely. The ABA model rules, Rule 1.7 for current client conflicts, Rule 1.9 for former clients, and Rule 1.10 for imputation, require that when a conflict exists, the conflicted lawyer is timely screened from any participation in the matter. And the screening has to include written notice to affected parties, a description of the procedures, and ongoing compliance. The rules don't just say put up a wall. They say put up a wall and prove it works.
Right, and the proof part is where the software comes in.
Exactly. An ethical wall in software means that a screened lawyer cannot see the conflicting matters documents, cannot search for them, cannot access them through any path in the application. And every time the system evaluates that wall, every time it blocks an access attempt, or even runs the check, it logs it. Those logs are the proof. When a regulator or opposing counsel asks, was this wall effective? You can show timestamped records of every access decision.
How is this different from the multi-tenant isolation we'll talk about later? That's about keeping different firms' data separate, right?
Good distinction. Multi-tenant isolation, which we'll cover in episode 27, is about keeping firm A's data completely separate from firm B's data. That's inter-tenant isolation. Ethical walls are intra-tenant, within a single firm. And they're actually harder to implement, because both users have legitimate accounts in the same firm. Both have roles that would normally grant them access. The wall is an exception, a targeted restriction that overrides their normal permissions for specific matters.
So you're carving out exceptions from the RBAC system we talked about in episode 23.
Exactly. The access decision has three layers now. First, does the user's role grant them permission for this type of action? That's RBAC. Second, is the user assigned to this specific matter? That's matter scoping. Third, is there an active ethical wall that blocks this user from this matter? That's the wall check. All three must pass. And the wall check is a hard deny. It overrides the first two, even if they would normally allow access.
Yeah. Now, you said these walls can be static or dynamic. What's the difference?
A static wall is set up manually by a firm administrator. Someone identifies a conflict and configures the wall. Attorney X cannot access matter Y. It works, but it depends on someone knowing about the conflict and remembering to configure the wall. A dynamic wall is triggered automatically by the conflict checking system. When a new matter is opened, the system compares the parties involved against all existing matters. If it finds a potential conflict, same party, adverse representation, it erects the wall automatically, no manual step.
Dynamic sounds much safer.
It is. And it's the expected standard in modern legal SaaS. The system should run the conflict check on matter creation, identify all lawyers with conflicting assignments, automatically block their access to the new matter, notify the affected parties, which the ABA rules require, and log everything with timestamps and reasons.
Right. Where should the wall actually be enforced technically? In the application code?
Not just the application code. This is defense in depth. We talked about that concept in episode 4. If the wall only exists in your application layer and someone writes a new database query that skips the check, the wall is breached. You need enforcement at multiple layers. At the database level, row-level security policies or filtered views that exclude wild matters. At the API middleware level, every request for matter data gets checked before reaching business logic. At the UI level, walled matters don't appear in matter lists, document views, or navigation. And at the search index level, this is the one people miss.
Ah, the search index. That's the full text search.
Right. Law firms need firm-wide search. Lawyers search across hundreds of matters to find precedents or prior work product. But if a lawyer is walled off from a matter, the search results must not include documents from that matter. Not even snippets. Not even metadata like the document title. And here's the critical detail. The system should not indicate that results were suppressed. If a lawyer searches for Acme Corp acquisition and sees a message saying two results hidden due to an ethical wall, they now know the firm is working on something involving Acme Corp on the other side. That itself is a confidentiality breach. The correct behavior is silent suppression. The walled results simply don't appear.
Yeah, that's subtle but important. The absence of information is itself information.
Exactly. And this is why search is the hardest part of ethical wall implementation. You need to filter at query time, not just at display time. The search engine needs to know which matters each user is walled from and exclude those documents before generating results.
Ugh, what about audit? You mentioned the rules require proof that the wall works.
Your audit log needs to capture 5 things. When the wall was created, including the triggering conflict and who created it. Any modifications to the wall. Every access attempt where the wall was evaluated, both grants and denials. When the wall was removed, who authorized it, and certification that no breach occurred. And periodic attestations, quarterly or annual confirmation that the wall is still in place. These logs have to be immutable. Once written, nobody can edit or delete them, not even the firm administrator.
Right, because if the admin could delete the logs, the proof disappears.
Precisely. And courts have taken this seriously. In the UK, the case of Petter v. EMC Europe in 2015 examined whether an information barrier at a law firm was sufficient. US courts have disqualified firms where screens were found to be paper screens. Documented procedures that weren't actually enforced in practice. Software-enforced walls with access logs provide much stronger evidence than policy documents alone.
So for anyone building legal SaaS, ethical walls aren't a feature you can add later. They need to be baked into the data model from the start.
Right. Matter-scoped access is the foundation. Every query must be scoped to the user's matter assignments. Ethical walls add a denying layer on top. Dynamic conflict checking triggers walls automatically. Silent search suppression prevents metadata leakage. And immutable audit logs prove it all works. If you're building legal SaaS and you don't have this, your enterprise law firm clients will find out during the security assessment, and the deal is over.
Next episode, Zero Trust Architecture. The security model that says nothing should be trusted by default, whether it's inside your network or outside it.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.